Back together, you and I, for a Tuesday, March 8th edition of Connecticut Today, right here on WICC. We spoke with State House Republican Leader Vin Candelore regarding a state contracting hearing that took place on Monday. What did we hear, but what didn't we hear that we maybe should have? And Southern Connecticut State University Professor Kevin Butterball offered his thoughts on the current situation in Ukraine. Well, there was a hearing on Monday that didn't quite get a lot of answers yet, as some folks were kind of evasive in Hartford regarding this state contracting mess, scandal, whatever. There was a hearing involving some lawmakers and some committees here, and to talk about that is State House Minority Leader, Republican Leader Vin Candelore is with us right now. Vin, it's Paul here at WICC. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Paul. Good to be talking to you.
And Vin, I had a laugh because I opened up the Connecticut Mirror late yesterday or early this morning, and I was looking for a story on this because I couldn't keep up with what was going on. And in the Connecticut Mirror, which we all know, Vin, they do a nice job, but they're hardly a right-leaning publication. I had a laugh because Mark Pazniokas' headline on this is, at a hearing over a school construction scandal, the scandal was off limits. And from reading that and from seeing your comments, I guess, Vin, when the questioning got to the part that people wanted to hear, there were some folks there hoping that that didn't happen. Talk about what happened yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I guess the visual is, if, you know, you have a point on a pin. The Democrats drew a circle around that by about 50 feet. So they didn't want anything being discussed whatsoever. You know, I understand there's a federal criminal probe that's going on, but I think as legislators, we have a lot more that we want to understand, like why was school construction moved into the governor's budget office, mm-hmm. which is a partisan office? Why weren't there checks and balances put in place? Why was there a memo given to the governor in July of 2020 that outlined the very concerns that are the subject of the federal investigation, and yet the governor and his administration didn't do anything until they were served with a federal subpoena in the fall of 2021. So it took almost a year and a half for the governor and his staff to do anything about the issue. And, you know, they put on their dog and pony show, said they dealt with this swiftly and immediately, and they're, you know, working on making things better. Well, the reality is, from the time they got that memo in July of 2020 to today, about $1 billion of school construction money has gone out the door. And they did nothing to even, in what I can see, look into this and understand it. So we got very little questions answered. And all we got were, you know, pats on their own back saying what a great job they're doing. And meanwhile, the very people that were around this scandal are still in office, supposedly managing our way out of the scandal.
You know, Vin, this whole notion that you just brought up, part of this narrative that, well, we can't say too much as legislators because there's a criminal investigation going on. Now, I say, well, okay, and let's look at that on another level. Now, this is a completely different scenario with a completely different person, but we have, for example, concerning Donald Trump, we have active congressional investigations, you know, committee doing stuff every day. And there's also a criminal investigation going. So, again, Vin, maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe I'm being a little too cynical. But this notion of, well, we have to be careful what we say. Really? I mean, I don't quite grasp that.
Yeah, no, it's totally hypocritical. You know, we saw what happened with Roland when there was the issues of, you know, some quid pro quo in construction. The Democrats tripped over themselves to start hearings to impeach Governor Roland. There was an incident where Governor Rell's chief of staff had sent out emails to employees over a campaign fundraising, and the Democrats were questioning whether it was appropriate or not, and they jumped into a full-fledged hearing. Of course, there was no wrongdoing found, but they couldn't wait to investigate a Republican. And now suddenly we have a federal grand jury. We have millions and billions of dollars that went out the door. A lot of questioning behavior throughout the state of Connecticut towns are saying they were pressured into things, and the governor is trying to say nothing to see here. And by the way, I had no idea what was going on. Well, so you're either incompetent over this situation, or you had knowledge and you're covering it up. And either way, it doesn't present well. But we have an obligation to the public to at least attempt to look into this. And at this point, what's disturbing to me is the Democrats aren't even pretending to try to address these bad decisions and these crimes that might have been committed and shine some light on government. They are perfectly happy keeping everybody in the dark, and it's wrong, and we're not going to go away quietly.
And Vin, do I see here in the various coverage stories regarding here that there's now the buzzwords or the buzz phrase, well, some of this was okay because it was done on an emergency basis, and some of this emergency construction does not have to or didn't adhere to the regular bidding process? Is that one of the narratives coming out of this?
Yeah, I mean, potentially it could be is that, you know, we do have no bid processes for emergencies, and maybe this was okay. But I think for me, I want to know why wasn't this brought to our attention in July of 2020? Why wasn't the administration open and transparent about it? And why did they wait for a federal subpoena before they brought this up? Because, you know, transparency is just critically important in government, and we have a public trust. And even that basic question hasn't been answered, and the governor just continues to deny having any knowledge. I find it really hard to believe with this memo that existed back then that was brought to a meeting that the governor had with these individuals that he had no knowledge whatsoever of the interaction and what the wrongdoings that were going on, especially given that he moved school construction right under his nose where his budget chief of staff was overseeing it.
Finally, Vin, can you envision, and this could be a little bit crystal ballish here, but can you envision a scenario, let's say, just for the sake of argument, and everyone is innocent until proven guilty, I get this, but for the sake of argument, if tomorrow the FBI announced an indictment or indictments here, would the majority in Hartford still, Vin, you think, say, well, the job is done there with the FBI. We don't need any of our legislators to get involved in this. Could that possibly happen?
Well, it certainly could, because they seem to have taken the approach, nothing to see here, let the feds do their investigation. So I'm waiting to see what the threshold is for the Democrats to step up and say, okay, enough is enough. I want to fix this. And we're not seeing that. And you know, we have towns that have come forward. They're now being denied their school construction that they were promised. And the answer to the Democrats are, well, we're going to make them whole. We'll give them their money. Well, before that happens, I think I want to understand how and why this happened before we spend more tax dollar money. And that's what's lost on everybody. This is not our money. It's the people's money. And we really have an obligation to investigate this. So I'm waiting to see where their threshold is of outrage. And shockingly, we're not seeing it yet.
Yeah. And Vin, finally, you know, when you have the OPM people and the governor using, you know, a euphemism like, well, we got into some bad habits. And I hear that and I go, okay. And that means what? What's a bad habit, A, and B, how did we get there, folks? I'm a dummy. Dumb it down for me. That's kind of walking on eggshells,
yeah.
Isn't it? You know?
Well, it is. And what was disappointing, and I think this governor, you know, coming from extreme wealth, lacks an appreciation for, you know, what it means to be in this position of responsibility to the public. Because, you know, a bad habit is something that we do that impacts ourselves. You know, I get into eating ice cream every night. This goes well beyond a bad habit. This goes to possibly misappropriating tax dollars that are the people's money. So to characterize it that way was really disturbing to me. And it might be why he didn't notice the memo on his desk pointing out this wrongdoing, because of this lackadaisical attitude. But I think we need to really pull back on it and understand what went on there.
All right, Vin Candelora, State House Minority Leader. Vin, good to hear from you. We'll keep an eye on it. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Yep, Vin Candelora there, Republican, North Brantford, and there you go. So we had this hearing by a couple of joint committees yesterday in the General Assembly, and when the questioning got a little too uncomfortable, some of the senior members on that committee said, no, we're not going there. I mean, there was folks, there was an actual line of questioning stopped by one of the senior Democrats on the committee when there were other committee members there and other people wanting to know, well, just, you know, just asking questions here. So this whole thing gets curiouser and curiouser. And again, I have to be careful and make sure I emphasize this. Innocent until proven guilty, we get it. But even, again, even the story that wraps up the hearing yesterday in the Connecticut Mirror on this from Mark Pazniokas, at a hearing over a school construction scandal, the scandal was off limits. So what are we doing here? Right? Endeavor to present as many different opinions as we can on this program on what's going on now in Ukraine. And we've had this gentleman on before in the past on various other topics. And we welcome back Professor Kevin Butterbaugh. Professor Butterbaugh chairs the Political Science Department at Southern Connecticut State University and teaches classes on war and international organization. Hey, Kevin, it's Paul here at WICC. How you been? Good to have you back.
I'm doing well today. Thank you.
So, Kevin, tell me what your assessment is this, Kevin, from afar here. What are your thoughts?
Oh, wow. That's a rather broad question to get us started with.
Sure.
Oh, I think first, it's really a humanitarian catastrophe. I think that's one of the things we have to keep in mind. Right? We have almost 2 million refugees out of Ukraine. You probably have millions more displaced inside. Just before I came on, they had announced that about 500 civilians have been for sure killed inside of Ukraine. The numbers are probably really higher. So that's a true catastrophe. And obviously, we would like to get this stopped. So from my end, it's really about what can we do to actually put an end to this so that we can save folks, in essence.
It's frightening to look, Kevin, at what is happening and what Vladimir Putin is doing here, opening and closing these supposed areas where folks can get out, and then you have bombing going on and going after civilians. Do you think he is in any sort of fractured state or frame of mind on this or not? Is he, you know, there are all these questions of, well, I've dealt with him before, all these State Department types saying, and there's something off here. Kevin, do you think there is or not?
So I actually think he believed that this was going to be a very easy thing to do. So I think that he was under false assumptions. He thought the Ukrainian government would collapse, that they would take Kyiv in the first few days. And once he realized that his military was not as effective as it was, that the resistance was much higher, I think you're starting to get almost a kind of a frustration and then a reversion back to the way the Russians have kind of historically fought wars. And we saw some of this in Syria with indiscriminate bombing of civilian sites. We definitely saw this in Georgia, and even more importantly, we saw a lot of this in Grozny when they fought in Chechnya. The intentional targeting of civilians, the destroying of cities, in essence a way to punish people to get them to concede to their demands. So I'm really kind of worried that as this stretches on, we're going to see even worse behavior out of Russia. And I think a lot of it is actually rather rational and intentional. He thinks that this is the way that he can get the goals that he wants achieved. And if it won't come quickly, then he's more than willing to bludgeon people into submission.
Yeah, are we at a point now, Kevin, where even if he thinks this can't be achieved, he's not going to stop thinking, well, wait a minute, I'm going to go down in history as a fool here. I'll have a horrible legacy, so I have to go on. Is that part of his thinking, you think?
I think that is part of his thinking. I think he's highly committed to essentially creating either a puppet regime or even annexing all of Ukraine. And for him to back down at this point would be a serious defeat. So I think we're likely to see him be even, in essence, right, he can't back down. The only thing that's going to stop him is literally his military starts to fall to pieces, right, so that you start seeing desertions and things of that nature, or you see elites in his country decide that it's no longer in their interest to be aligned with him and try to pull him down. But the evidence is, that, at least from what I've read and looked at, that he's pretty secure in terms of controlling the elite. So I don't think we're likely to see internal issues pull him down. We might see something on the battlefield that makes his military, right, either fall apart or become completely ineffective. But we'll have to wait to see. I can't predict the future in terms of that.
Professor Kevin Butterbaugh is the guest, Southern Connecticut State University. Professor, hang on. We'll be right back with you first. Traffic and weather together, and then more discussion about the Ukraine-Russia situation from another area expert. Traffic and weather together, back with more on WICC. And we are at 600 AM, 107.3 FM, and online at WICC600.com. Few more minutes with Professor Kevin Butterbaugh. He's chair of the Political Science Department at Southern Connecticut State University. Teaches a class on war and international organization as well. Professor, to the scenario here now with NATO. What does NATO do here? I mean, I know they're massing their forces, and now we get word that some old Soviet-era jets might be being sent over from some Soviet MiGs from Poland to Ukraine. How do you think that all shakes out?
So this is almost unprecedented, right, that you have NATO actually funneling arms into a place to actually kill Russians. It's not actual NATO soldiers doing it, but it's the next step from that occurring. So this is actually in some ways very incendiary, right? It's almost at the edge of NATO actually participating in combat. By the same token, if we don't supply arms to Ukraine, they're going to collapse rather quickly. And that would also then mean that Russia would get whatever it wants out of Ukraine, and that would actually create potential dangers to other NATO members. It might also encourage him to move on to a place like Moldova, to move on Georgia again, or to do other kinds of things. So I do think that that NATO is doing the wise thing by funneling arms, but it's actually a rather dangerous set of events in terms of doing that. And we've already heard Putin say that he thinks it would be legitimate to even target convoys of arms coming out of Poland into Ukraine, which would lead to the potential, right, of actual NATO personnel possibly being injured if that. So it's potentially very dangerous, and it's very much unprecedented.
You know, Professor, I know this is a far-fetched question, it may be, but can you at all conceive of anybody in his inner circle, in Mr. Putin's inner circle, even if he lets them get close to him now with rumors of his paranoia and everything, do you think he's hearing anything in his inner circle that says, this is killing Russia, this is not doing us any good, our economy is already crumbling, this will be irreparable for decades? Do you think he's hearing that from anybody?
I have real doubts. This is a personalistic autocrat. These kinds of individuals are generally very insulated. The longer they serve in power, the more insulated they become, and the more likely they are surrounded by sycophants and yes people. And so in that respect, I think it's very unlikely that he's getting a very good picture on the ground. And it's quite possible that he might think that he's actually doing better in Ukraine than he actually is. That doesn't mean he's not getting any of the bad news, but I think that he is not likely to be getting the kind of critical thinking and the kind of questions that he should be getting from advisors. And that actually makes it harder actually to deal with him in some respects. And it also means he's much more likely to persist long term because there's nobody to really tell him no.
I did read, and this seems, Professor, to be amazing to some Americans, but if you think about it, it isn't, that Vladimir Putin's approval ratings are actually on, he's above water in Russia. And it's not like these backward banana republics where, you know, 99% of everybody, you know, votes for dear leader. But there is what they say, I guess, is credible Russian polling to say that, yeah, he's in the upper 50s, low to mid 60s. So I think one thing that complicates this, Professor, correct me if I'm wrong, is that a lot of his people agree with him.
I think he definitely has a reasonably large basis of support, and there's a lot of evidence that Russians have bought into at least some of the narrative that it is Ukraine and NATO that are the problem here, not that Russia has been the aggressor. It's very clear that he's been able to control the information space inside of Russia, and that because of that, Russians themselves have a very different view of what is taking place than we in the West have, right? And a lot of disinformation and propaganda inside of Russia has clearly had an impact on the way the average person in Russia views this.
Professor Kevin Butterball, Southern Connecticut State University. Good to hear from you again. Professor, be good. Take care. And we'll chat down the road. We appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Appreciate it. Professor Kevin Butterball, Southern Connecticut State University. There you go.